Christmas has to be and what we expect. And if I don't have this great Christmas, then I feel like I've got gyps somehow. We think of Christmas, the perfect ideal Christmas we think about is having the perfect presents. Maybe everything is stable for you economically. The meal, the gifts, family from out of town, they come in. And talking about Christ brings peace on earth, we would like peace in around our kitchen table. And this is an ideal, wonderful time, stress-free, problem-free. And we think if anything less than this happens in my life, then we just assumed we got gypped or robbed or something. We didn't say the right prayer. We didn't read the Bible enough. Something happened, because this is what Christmas is supposed to be, right? Isn't this what we see in Scripture, this ideal Christmas? This Thomas Kincaid portrait in our lives, this is what we have to have. But, as I was trained to do in school, as I looked at the Christmas story in Scripture, I try to read it as if it's my first time reading it, with unbiased eyes, to see what's there. And as I read the very first Christmas with unbiased eyes, not making any presupposition, no assumption, just seeing what's there in the text, I look closely at it, and I'm not seeing this. And I think so much of our picture of Christmas is faulty. I'm going to pick on a song that I really enjoy a lot. It's a wonderful song. I'm not putting this down. Away in a Manger. I read the second verse. The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. And I just think, Jesus never cried. He was never sad. I just think we parts of this, we just put so many ideals beyond what's actually there. I think Jesus cried a lot. I've had 3 kids, and they cry. It's nothing bad. That's what kids do. For those of you who have new little children, you're probably sleep deprived. That's kind of how it works. And the way you get over it is you wait a few years. That's life. So the idea that Mary and Joseph had this ideal, quiet Bethlehem, things were great, I think is unrealistic. And so as I look at the Scripture, the very first Christmas to me seems a little scary. Am I allowed to say that on Christmas Day? I said it. Maybe it's a Christian protest sermon. The first Christmas was scary. It was a difficult time. We have our two main characters, Mary and Joseph, and their lives are full of hardship and sacrifice. And as they serve the Lord, they pay a great price in serving the Lord. It is not cheap. Their worship is not cheap. It's very costly to them, the things that they had to give up so the first Christmas could happen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. If you did not bring a Bible today, there's one in the pew rack in front of you, and you can turn to page 1337. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And in the pew rack, the Bible is 1,337. I want us to look at the first Christmas story, and I want us to see what Christmas should be. Let's talk to the Lord just for a second. I want to ask his blessing on this message. I've got a lot of thoughts in my mind. There's a lot of stuff in my heart I want to pour out to you people. And I don't know, I feel like all week the Lord pours into me, and I just have to, if I can't get it out, I just feel like I've kept the Lord from speaking to you. I don't want to do that today. I want him to speak through me, so I want to ask his help at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray as I look at the Scripture that I would be honest with it and forthright. Help me to be clear in my message. I pray for my friends who are here listening that you would open up your word to them as you've tried to teach me this week. And I pray that you would speak to all of our hearts, Lord. We need you this day, Lord, and we are inadequate in ourselves. And so we ask for your help. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." So here we have the very first Christmas, and I'm not seeing ideal, okay? I'm seeing Mary and Joseph
In their process of serving Christ, in the process of the hardship that they faced, I see them losing their reputation, what people thought of them. They sacrifice it so we can have their very first Christmas. So here she is. She's probably, if the custom of the day, she's somewhere between 13 and 15 when she gets married. As we know, back in this day, Roman culture, the lifespan is what people live in their mid to late 30s, that you would be living longer than some. Many people died at an early age. And so marriage was much sooner. So here she is, a teenager, and she's engaged to be married to Joseph. And they're not married yet, and she has a child. And Joseph's like, what do I do? He could have had her stoned if he'd wanted to, if he was someone that sought revenge. But he doesn't do that. It says he's a just man. He cared for her well-being. And so he decides he'll just put her away so that no one sees her, and they can hide the shame of the moment. Well, the angel comes to him and has to explain to him, oh, no, this is of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing wrong about it. She's done nothing wrong. This is supernatural. It had to be this way. For Christ to be the God-man, he had to have the Holy Spirit as his Father, okay? And so this is necessary for God to complete his will. And so here she is doing God's will. And what happens? She has to give up her reputation. And so at this time, what are people thinking about her? What are people thinking about him? And we think this is just a one-time event that they faced and that they got over. Later on in Christ's ministries, when he's being questioned by the Pharisees, they'll bring this up again later to him, and they'll say, now wait a minute, wasn't your mother Mary, and didn't she have you before marriage? And so this is thrown back at Christ later on in life. So this is something that for many years, people didn't understand where they're coming from. They were misunderstood. So the very first Christmas, what do we have? We have the loss of reputation. We have people who want to serve Christ facing hardship and difficulty. And this is costly to them. What's the next thing I see? I see Joseph, not a wealthy man. God chose to send his son into the world through a humble beginning, a common person, a poor person that people could relate to. Wherever you're at, you can relate to Christ, because Christ knows what it's like to be poor and humble. And so he sends his son to be born, and the person he chooses is Joseph. And we think of Joseph as a carpenter. Probably a better translation of that is he's probably a contractor. He probably would have worked on houses. That's what the word looks like, probably what it meant. And so here you have, this is the blue-collar dad, right? This isn't white-collar dad. This is blue-collar. This is, Joseph has dirty hands, doesn't he? And his hands would have been hard and worn. And he would have had all the aches and pains. If you've done physical labor for hours at a time, you know what this feels like. So here he is, living in poverty. They have to give up their comfort. And at this, God specifically chose this time of year to bring his son to earth. And so Mary is pregnant, and it's also the time of the census and tax. And so they've got to travel a great distance with Mary, the expectant wife. Just think about how uncomfortable this time of year is for her. And I don't want to use my wife as an illustration. We've had three wonderful children. She had one miscarriage, so she's had four pregnancies. But I don't know if you've been around women when they're going to have a baby soon. It's a stressful time for them, right? And you're laying in bed 2 a.m. and they poke you. You know, I've got to have pickles. And so you race off to Walmart, whatever's open, and you buy a big jar of pickles, right? And you come back, and your wife says, oh, no, I wanted watermelon. So, okay, you put the pickles down, you run and get some watermelon. You come back, and she's asleep, okay? But she's happy that you tried. You cared, maybe. I don't know what the... But there's all kinds of things that go on when women are having babies. You all laugh because you know what I'm talking about. But there's all kinds of things that she's going through in her life, and she needs that ministry and support. So we look at the timing of this first Christmas, okay? This timing couldn't be any worse for her. This is a difficult time. And so comfort. She's giving up comfort. And then what happens when she goes to have a child, right? The nesting instinct kicks in. My mother, when my mother had seven children, And I'm number 5. My sister is 6, wherever she is. She's 6 right there. We want number 7 to come. We're working on her. So you pray for her. My mother had 7 children, and she was a master of having children. That's like her spiritual gift, I think. I don't know if that's a spiritual gift. But she could walk in and just have the child, and she would just tell the doctor, okay, it's time. But the last child, she cleaned the whole house. And my dad was ready to go. Let's go, let's go. She's like, she was scrubbing the floor on her hands and knees. She wanted the perfect house to come back to. The nesting instinct. It's a funny thing with women, but God has designed them this way. And then she goes to the hospital. She had the child, and in a few hours, she's back again. And she's glad the house is clean, okay? So here Mary is. Imagine this, having this child. And where is she going to stay? A humble stable. Think about where she's going to put her child. A manger with straw. Think about this. I mean, do you think she's comfortable? Do you think that she feels right at home with the animals? I don't think so. The first Christmas is very uncomfortable, isn't it? It's not convenient at all. She's living a life of hardship and sacrifice. She's serving the Lord, and I think right now she's being rewarded in heaven for her sacrifice. And I think God rewards her as one of his servants. But she does make a sacrifice. She does give up her comfort. Now, third thing that I see here is found in Matthew chapter 2. If you'll just turn your page over. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 12. I see the third area that Mary and Joseph sacrificed. Matthew chapter 2, verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was the spoken of the word by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. This is just a tragedy. This probably would have happened a period of time after Christ was born. There would have been a time lapse between the things happening, but what a horrific thing to happen during the most wonderful time of year, if you can just picture this. This is just a frightening thing to consider. But you have Herod. It's towards the ends of his life. Herod is obsessed with his power and control. And so the holidays for him are not a good time, because he's not thinking about the glorious birth of God in flesh. He's thinking about, how do I protect my kingdom from this Messiah figure? And so he's seen the prophecies, he's read the Old Testament perhaps, and he's seen a picture of where and when it's supposed to happen. And so he's obsessed with power here. And so he has his wise men. You know, I want you to go meet this Messiah and then come back and report to me. So I just want to enjoy this with them, okay? But really his motives, as we know, are self-centered, and he really wants to keep any heir from the throne from challenging his dominance and his power. And so at the Christmas time, he's the least happiest person, is he? Because he's about control. Control will never make you happy. You can be in control, or you can have friends, but you can't do both. Okay? So here it is. He wants to be in control. Now think about Jesus. He's born to Joseph. And who's Joseph a direct descendant of? Well, he comes from the line of David. And the line of David is promised this eternal throne. And so if you think about it, Joseph is in danger, and his son's going to be in danger. And so he sends these kids to spy on the birth of Christ. And when they don't return to him, it says that he's furious. And so he decides, he knows where it is. Every boy, 2 and under, is just executed. What a horrible thing that happens. And so we see at this time of year, Mary and Joseph have already been through a lot. And this is already a very uncomfortable time for them as they serve the Lord. And so the next thing that we'll see is that their very safety is going to be in doubt. And so they're worried about their physical safety. And so they will flee to Egypt for a period of time. And then they come back when God tells them to, but they're reluctant to go back to their home. Because even though Herod has passed on, his son will reign in his stead. And so this is a time of great fear for them. And so as I look at the very first Christmas, I see hardship. I see sacrifice. This is less than an ideal time. This is, in a way, though, it's a little comforting for me to think about, because my life isn't perfect either. And my Christmases aren't always perfect. And maybe you come here today and you have a set of burdens that God has given you. Maybe you're going through a time of testing and difficulty. Maybe there's a loved one that's not here today that you wanted to see, but God hasn't allowed that to happen. And you have your own struggles and difficulty. Maybe there's a bill past due and you don't know how you're going to pay it. We come to church and we all have smiling faces, but in reality, we all have our own burdens that we carry. And what I want to tell you is this. Even though you come here and we have our difficulties, we have our struggles, just like happened in the very first Christmas, our Christmas can still be joyful. Even as this first Christmas, with all the problems, with all the difficulties, with all the hardship, with all the sacrifice, this first Christmas was a joyful occasion. And there was people that got great joy from it. And you know what? With all the problems that you have right now, and I don't know what your problems are. I don't know if you have health problems. And I don't know what's going on in your heart, but I know this, is that you can have joy this time of year, but it's not based on the physical world around you. The physical world around us is temporary. We act like it's everything, though, don't we? We act like it's just the end of the world if things don't go right physically. This world around you, these things that you see, this pew, this pulpit, this building, this is all temporary. This body is temporary. My appearance, you know, someday I'll have a glorified body. It doesn't matter how I look. I don't worry about these things. The world around us is all temporary. Don't make Christmas about the temporary things around you. This world is like a styrofoam cup. You put a hot beverage in it, you drink it, you smash it, you throw it away. This is what our world is. We get so obsessed over things. Houses, cars, clothes, cell phones, computers. I love them all. They're great. My life isn't about all of those things, though. Those things are temporary. Those are styrofoam cups. You know, maybe you have a good car, maybe you have a bad car. My car just got hit a couple days ago. And so hit and run. Yeah, Merry Christmas, right? That's okay. The car is temporary. Someday when I get to heaven, I'll be able to fly, so I'm not too worried. It's a temporary thing. No, I'm not worried about cars. Christmas time. There's joy at Christmas. The joy of Christmas is not the physical things. Mary and Joseph had joy. The wise men had joy. Why was this? Why could they have joy when so many things were going wrong around them? And how can we have joy when so many things around us are broken? We live in a broken world full of sinners, and the world is full of problems. And as much as we try to fix them, they just seem to get worse. And we have more deficits and more crime and more broken families, and all of these things around us are horrifying. But the world we live around is physical. Christmas is just not about those things. Although someday we know that Christ will return and he will bring justice to the world. He will rectify the sins and the world will be what it should be. It will return to the way it once was. But in the meantime, we live in a broken physical world. So the question for you is, where is joy found at Christmas time? And I will tell you, in Matthew 1:23, it's found in the name of Christ. Christ is called Emmanuel. You know, I have like no stick in my fingers. You'll have to forgive me. All right, here we go. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and they shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The thing that makes Christmas special is that God is with us. It's our relationship with God. That's what matters. This world is physical. This world is temporary. But what matters is our relationship with God, our walk with God. The Christian life begins. The first step of faith is receiving Christ as your Savior. recognizing that you are a sinner and that you are living in defiance of God. You have broken God's law and that you live for yourself, and realizing that you need forgiveness. And this forgiveness can only come through one person. And this person had to be both God and man, dying on the cross, offering salvation to all. And the first step of faith is putting our trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone for our salvation. And then after we're saved, the next thing that happens is called sanctification, and that's growing in our walk with Christ. And that's becoming more like Him every day. And that's in walking with Him, reading His Word, praying to Him, spreading the message of who He is. And this is where we find joy. The Christian life, joy is found in the person of Christ. It's not in the physical things around us. It's in our walk with Him. And it's in the joy that He gives us as we do His will. When I walk close with Christ, I realize the things that are important, and I realize how important I am as I do His will. Because no longer is it just about me anymore. It's God working through me. And the joy and excitement that brings. There's no greater joy than living a life of sacrifice and service to Christ. And that's where joy is this Christmas. It's not the presents that you're going to open. It's not the meal. You can burn the meal. Who cares about the meal? It's fine. And believe me, I love food. Food is great. But having a fancy meal is not the thing that brings you the most joy. The thing that brings you the most joy is having the peace in your heart that Christ is on the throne of your heart, that you've received Him as your Savior, and then after that is that you choose to follow Him. That's where joy is, okay? And Christ is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Whatever happens, He can help you with. Whatever you face, if it's a difficult marriage, if it's difficulty with your family, if it's financial hardship, if it's work hardship, if it's physical sickness, He can be with you. And that's where joy is found. Joy is not in this world. Joy is in our hearts, isn't it, as we walk with God. And so I want to encourage you to put your focus there. Where is your focus this Christmas? Are you upset because things didn't work out the way you wanted? Are you upset because of what somebody said? Don't worry about that person. Every family has to have one. Don't worry. That's not where joy is. I hope that your joy is found in Christ and that's where your heart is. Let's bow our heads.